I just wanted to address an issue today, particularly in some ways this might be considered Lezecher Nishmas Mordechai Yehuda ben Shlomo, a person who was a very unusual individual. His son is a close friend of mine, got up from Shiva this morning. But I wanted to, sort of Lezecher Nishmas, I wanted to address a particular issue. The Mishnah in Avos tells us that our Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed, Ala Torah Val Avoda Val Gemilas Chasadim. So we all know what Torah is, and we all know what Gemilas Chasadim is. But I wanted to talk about Avoda today. Avoda we typically think of as the Karbanos, and we think when there are Karbanos that are Tefillah. We think of it as what we might call worship or prayer. But the truth is, Avoda has another meaning, and I believe it's actually the correct meaning in both of these contexts, and I want to explain why. Avoda means service. That's what Avoda is. Avoda in the Mikdash was a form of service to God. And Avoda Shebelev, Tefillah, is modeled upon that as well. The Gemara in Brachos, in the fourth Perek, has a machlokas as to Tefillos keneged mi, or keneged ma. One shita says that Tefillos are keneged avos tiknum. Avram Shachris, Yitzchak Tikei Mincha, Yaakov was Mispala Mariv, and those are the three Tefillos. And another Shita says, Tefillos Keneged Tamidim Tiknum. They're Keneged the Tamidim, but as you well know, there are only two Tamidim. There's the Tamid Shal Shachar, that's Shachris, and the Tamid Shal Bein Harbayim, which is Mincha. And Mariv, the truth be told, we hold, we paskin, is Rishus. Marav is Rishus, like the Hechter Chalavim and Nevarim, which could be done even at night, and we're not Ma'akev the Karban at the end of the day, or at the end of the night. So there really are two models for Tefillah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person is supposed to have Kavanah in Tefillah, and if a person fails to have Kavanah even for the first Bracha, the Kavanah for Perush Amilos, so you're not Yotze, you have to go back and daven again. The Rama says, it's not ma'akev, because if you go back, you may not have kavanah the second time around either. Many of us know that tefillah is a tremendous challenge. We daven three times a day. Thank God, compared to our ancestors, at least on average, we have much less to pray for. We don't worry about walking out into the street, normally. Maybe we should, but normally we don't. And walking into the middle of a pogrom. Not that there isn't any anti-Semitism, but it's pretty rare in the context in which we live. Most things, there are some serious illnesses, but most illnesses are usually identifiable and curable, or they're not life-threatening, one variety or the other. Again, there are exceptions, but fundamentally speaking, they're either most things we know how to cure, we know how to at least help people live with them, even if we can't cure them. There are occasionally things that are actually much worse, but compared to our ancestors, when a fever could easily be a death sentence, because you never knew what it was. Today, 9 out of 10 times, or 95 out of 100 times, a person has a fever, they go to the doctor, they have the flu, they have something, takes antibiotics. So thank God, we don't have as much to pray for on average, with exceptions again, but on the whole. And so tefillah is a tremendous challenge. And the question is, how do we relate to that? And I think I've mentioned this to some of you before. Something that I heard Rav Yaakov Nagin say when he gave shir here many years ago, the last time probably he gave shir, is that there are two paradigms of tefillah. There's the paradigm of the avos, which is tachanunim. And that's where the kavana of the perush hamilos really, really counts. It's like the supplicant who is beseeching God. And that's where kavana of what you're saying is actually central. But there's a second element of tefillah, and that's the element of avoda, of service. It doesn't really matter if I have a kavana. It doesn't matter whether or not I feel like praying. Right? It doesn't really matter. I show up and I daven as a form of avoda, because that's what you do when you're an Eved Hashem. Hopefully you can muster some kavana. Some of the time you can muster some kavana. Occasionally you might muster kavana for most of the Shemoneh Esrei. But it doesn't matter if you're not in the mood for davening. It doesn't. And again, I'm not referring to, you know, a speech that was given here, which I think was dead on. His comment was his Rebbe, you know, Rebbe said to him, I never heard somebody wasn't in the mood for davening before. It's correct. That comment was spot on. Doesn't matter if you're not in the mood for davening. Okay, so you won't have such great kavanah. You still put on tefillin in the morning. You still daven three times a day. Because that's avodah. That's what it means. You show up and you do your job. Somebody once said, it's been attributed to many different people with different percentages, 80% of life is just showing up. So when it comes to davening, yeah, do you not have, should you have kavanah? Of course you should try to have kavanah. But sometimes it's difficult. But nonetheless, you daven anyway. And you shouldn't walk away thinking, oh, what a waste. No. This is a form of avodah. In the same way that when a korban was brought in the mikdash, you have to make sure not to have the wrong kavanah. But the point is, you bring the korban and you do the avodah because that's what avodah is. God told you to bring this animal as a sacrifice, and that's what you do. The chachamim were mesaka in tefilos b'malkom tmidim. So even when you don't, when your heart's not into it, when you're not concentrating as much as you should be, you show up and you do it because that is what avodah is. That's what it means to serve. That is the definition of service. The Gemara has a comment about a pasuk in Mishlei. Ki rabim chalalim hipila va'atsumim kol harugeha. Ki rabim chalalim hipila. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and somewhere else also at the end of the first parak of Avodah Zarah. Ki rabim chalalim hipila. It's talking about the Isha Zara in Mishlei, but Chazal interpret, it has felled many corpses. That's a Talmud shelo higia lahora umora. A Talmud who hasn't reached the stage of hora, but he's mora anyway. And va'atsumim kol harugeha, it's killed ones are many, are mighty, great in number. That's a Talmud shehigia lahora ve'eno mora. He's qualified and worthy of hora, but he's not mora. You know why he's not Mora? Because he doesn't feel like it. Because he doesn't want to take the responsibility of being Mora. And he's being equated with the person who's irresponsible because he's not qualified in Paskins. So this person who's capable of Paskining, and I have to tell you, Rabosai, when you have to Paskin a new Shaila, a real Psak, not reading on the Shulchan Aruch, it's not fun. Someone, there's a reason why Chazal speak about someone who's Gas Libo Bahura. Because Hora is no fun. It's not fun to have to step into a situation and take the responsibility of deciding a new issue. But if there's a person who's qualified to do so, it is their job to serve. That, and their job in serving is to take the responsibility of hora. And that's true with everything in life. As Chazal say, "Bimakom shein ish, hishtadel lios ish." You shouldn't be a hedyot hakofetz berosh, but if there's no one there, you have to step in. That's your responsibility. Mordechai Yehuda ben Shlomo was a person of a generation who came to this country after World War II. He came from a family that had been fairly successful, and they resumed their business on these shores, in the diamond business. And he was a member of a group of individuals who, in this case, lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan for a long time, who founded many institutions in a time when there were almost no institutions here. In 1950, there were almost no yeshivot in this country. It was almost nothing. And the reason why you have yeshivot that you attended, all probably excellent by the standards of 60 years ago or 70 years ago, is because there were people who saw a void, they saw a vacuum, and they stepped up and did something. They didn't sit there and wait to be served by others. They engage in avodah. And the reason why you and I can eat from their fruits is because somebody else worked when there was nothing there. Today, there's an attitude in the world of magiali. Magiali, everything should be coming to me. That's the wrong attitude. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed. Al ha-Torah, V'al ha'avoda v'al gomilas chasadim. You have to step up when there's a need. If there are poor people and there's no mosad of tzedakah, whether you have a lot of money, whether you have less money, but you can pull people together, that's your job, not to stand around. When there's a room, you walk into an event and they didn't set up yet. You walk in, you stand around. You don't stand around. Step up. Take the chairs that are sitting on the side. Set them up. It's not magialach. It's not magialanu. That's what's called avoda. Avoda means to serve. It means where there's a void and there's a blank, you step up and do something. I was asked to address a question by one of the students in the yeshiva about a problem that apparently the minyanim face on Shabbos. And I think it's not just on Shabbos, but the minyanim during the week, in terms of a lack of gabos, lack of balei kriya. Now, I don't know that the world has gotten worse. I don't know if there are more minyanim now than when I was a student, but I don't think that there are that many more, certainly. When I was a student, I think most people considered it a kavod and gladly took the chance to lane to be a gabbai of a minyan. At least the way I saw it. I never remember there being a minyan, any regular minyan, where there wasn't a gabbai. And there were always people who were willing to step up and lane. But apparently that's an issue. And I asked the person, I said, you know, why don't you go around and ask people and nudge them? And he said to me, well, because I suspect what they'll do then is they'll just go to a different minyan where no one will bother them. Rabosai, if there's a need, you step up. When I take this specific example, these two examples, when it comes to laning, not all of you, but most of you probably learn to lane by your bar mitzvah. Know how to lane. So you know what it means? Of course it takes time to prepare. You don't have to lane the full parsha every week. But if you are a person who's here every week, every other week, every third week, and it's not just to the people sitting in this room, it's to every Talmudist yeshiva is here, if you've been given the tools to lane, step up and learn an aliyah too. Go to the gabbai of a minyan and say, I'm prepared to lane. I can lane two aliyahs every 3 weeks. And then you won't have a problem. You don't need to lane an entire parsha. Or you can say, I'm here, I'll lane for you every 6th week. Of course, it requires working. It requires avoda. But that's what real Torah Jews do. When there's a need, you step up and you fulfill that need. Some people can't lane. Some people didn't learn how to lane. Some people it's a struggle for. It's really, truly uncomfortable. It's not a question of avoda. But there are other things that can be done. Being a gabbai doesn't require the same kind of public performance. There are multiple gabbai in there. Some gabbai have to at least read words and do it publicly, although almost everybody can do that. It means coming in advance to prepare. It means rolling the Sifrei Torah. It means coming into the minyan a few minutes early to make sure everything is set up. It means going around and asking some of the aliyahs. It means getting the psicha and the hagbah and the glila and so on, getting people to daven for the amud. Most people can serve as a gabbai. Learn, it's not that hard. And daven for the amud is true as well. For some people, it is truly uncomfortable. Unfortunately, most of those people learn when they become avelim. But that should have to be the case. If you can read ivra, you practice. You work on things so that when the tzibur needs, you can do avoda. Right? In some minyanim, in most of Balabatish minyanim in my shul, so we are relieved because, relieved, strange enough, because they're avelim, they're achiyuvim, so they want it dam for the amud because that's part of the minhag. Right? So it relieves everybody else. But you know what? When there are no achiyuvim there, other people have to step up and you do it. That's just the way it is. That's what the definition of avoda is. So I understand there's a particularly acute problem when it comes to the laning here. So I say this to you who sit in front of me, and I say this to all B'nai HaYeshiva, said, take the responsibility upon yourselves. You don't have to do a huge job, but understand it is your achrayus. You're not here to be served. You are here to serve. That was the example. That was the example of Mordechai Yehuda ben Shlomo and many of his generation. And I know that in his case, he transmitted it to his son, who is a good friend I know quite well. And there are many people who understand that. But it doesn't always get transmitted for some reason, even when the parents know the value of avoda. So understand, your job in life is not to be served. Your job is to serve. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed. Al ha'torah and gemilas chasadim. But don't forget the one in the middle. It's omed al ha'avoda. Shabbos.